You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
There is no offseason for volunteering. We're asking the best fans in the NFL to make a difference by volunteering 10 hours in your local community. Take the Cleveland Browns First and 10 pledge today. Visit clevelandbrowns.com to learn more. You're going to feel good to do that. All right. The head coach of the Browns, Mike Pettine, just finished with meeting with the media after the third and final practice of the mandatory mini camp that the Browns held this week. Kind of summing everything up, tying it up in a bow. Let's give it a listen. The head coach of the Browns.
Any questions for Coach?
Can you elaborate? We asked you yesterday what your exit words are to the team now.
About some of the numbers that occurred in the weight room, some of the things we were able to do there, just the amount. That we've built a good foundation is to take and keep on. We get the training camp, so it was a challenge for the guys to stay in shape, and also to get in there. They're gonna have available. Their playbooks will be available to them throughout this break as well. We should be able to get ahead mentally for training camp as well.
To clarify the quarterback situation. Is Hoyer the starter heading into training camp?
Yes.
How close to number two is Manziel?
Being able to take the actual.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, a little technical difficulty, as you can hear there, with the recording of the coach's news conference, and we're very, very sorry about that. Hopefully, we can get another audio feed of that. Fortunately, we've got multiple mics on that, so we're going to get with our other production crew and see if we can get that, because he had a lot to say there regarding key things like the quarterback position and what is in store there for training camp and such. So we really want to bring that to you. Want to remind you that Ron Jaworski is going to join us at 2 p.m. We know that's going to be a good interview. We know you'll be able to hear that thing in its entirety. And let's do this now. You know what? We were going to save this for the second hour. But this is what you have to do in radio. You got to shift around. This is what live stuff is all about. So Matt Fontana, our producer, I'm going to ask you to have the Nate Burleson sound ready that we had from yesterday. If you can, you got that ready? All right, good. All right, let's do this, because Nate had a lot of interesting things to say,
he
Michael.
Did. And, yeah, very much so.
Vic Carucci, Michael Ray Guy here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And let's go with what Nate Burleson had to say about the quarterback competition of the Browns.
I like it. I like competition at any position. I just feel like when you got two guys that are hungry, that want to start, both of those guys have more than enough reasons to want to play.
Yeah, and I think the veteran perspective there, Michael, of saying that you have the hunger of these two players, we look at this through the prism of, okay, Johnny Manziel, and how motivated is he to come in as the rock star from Texas A&M to find himself in a backup role, that he's going to be more motivated? I don't think that is true whatsoever. I think there is every bit as much, because we see it from him, in Brian Hoyer and the way he's performed and the statement that he wants to make that, hey, this is – my job right now. He's defined that much. We heard from the audio of the head coach that Brian is the number one guy on the depth chart going into training camp, and he isn't going to let that go. This is effectively in his mind, he's got to be saying, this is my job to lose, and I'm not going to do it.
Make no mistake, Brian Hoyer has made that very declarative statement. He is definitively, and that's a word I like to use. Everybody asks us. To me, he's definitively set himself above the other quarterbacks. So his statement has been one, and that's why I mentioned a moment ago, Vic, in our opening segment of the show today, about now Johnny Manziel sees it. He's had a chance to see it right in front of him with regard to Brian Hoyer's preparation, how he goes about doing the extra, how he goes about handling himself in the tape room and on the football field and in quarterback meeting rooms. So We're going to find out, again, what's applied in these next 6 weeks. But for Brian Hoyer, Vic, I'm going to be honest with you. I not only did I not expect anything different from him, you and I talked about this a lot in the offseason. I am not the least bit surprised at the way this has played out.
No.
Because if I'd been shocked if it had played out any differently.
Right. In terms of his attitude, his approach, everything that makes up a guy that we saw last year, got to know a lot better last year, but really that competitive fire has been in him, you know, go back to St. Ignatius.
Yeah,
I mean, this is what the guy's all about.
Yeah.
Nate Burleson talking about whether the Browns are fortunate to have quarterback competition.
You know, I just feel like we're fortunate to have that because I've been on teams, and there's teams right now that don't have that competition. They got one guy, and then, you know, everybody else is pretty much destined to be the backup. So, for us, we got two guys that can play at a very high level.
Yeah, and I think that's key here, is to know that this thing hasn't been handed to anybody. It can't be. I mean, it really can't be. And that includes Brian Hoyer. Even if logic suggests right now, and everything would point to the idea that he should go into the season as the starter because your chances for mistake, your percentages to help your defense, help your running game and such are much greater with a guy like Hoyer in there than any rookie, whether his name is Johnny Manziel or Blake Bortles or whoever the rookie may be.
Doesn't matter. And we should have added a moment ago when we Brian Hoyer, trust us when we tell you, is not taking anything for granted. He does not believe in any way, shape, or form that, as his head coach Mike Pettine suggested, that could Johnny Manziel close what is not an insurmountable gap? Of course. And Hoyer knows that. And Hoyer knows that he's got to perform at an upper echelon level through this entire process to make sure that he derives what he wants, Vic, and that is to be the starting quarterback on this football team. So I love it. Nate Burleson just said it, and Burleson's been around long enough to know. And as we said, with regard to Nate Burleson, Vic, I just hope that physically he is able to perform the way I think he's capable of doing, because I believe he'd be a perfect complement. And we say, of course, brought here would be a compliment to Josh Gordon. But I think it would be oh so sweet if it could play out that way.
This is what Nate Burleson has to say about the education of Johnny Football.
It's a game of living and learning from lessons. So there's going to be some game time errors you're going to have to make regardless. You know, you can't be perfect. It's going to take, you know, him getting hit, getting up off the ground, you know, him making a great throw, making a bad throw in a game time situation for him to actually learn from it.
And with regard to the attention that Johnny Manziel is drawing, not only here in Cleveland, but obviously when he's outside of Cleveland. This is what Nate Burleson had to say about that.
You know, he can't do anything, whether it's on the field, making a play, good or bad, or, you know, enjoying himself in his free time. You know, he's one of those guys. I guess he's this year's Tebow. You know, you can't turn on the radio or the TV without hearing something about Johnny.
Yeah, I would think that's a fair comparison. It's a little different in the sense that, of course, Tebow had that college magic with him and that following that was so strong and that carried into the NFL. And I remember, because I was at the Broncos training camp working for NFL.com at the time, or SiriusXM NFL Radio, during a camp tour, and it was overwhelming, the number of people who were standing, you know, first thing in the morning, some even the night before, to make sure they had a spot on these, like, berms that are set up to where people could watch practice. I know they're undergoing some construction around the Broncos facility now, and training camp is actually going to be closed to the public while they work through fixing things up. But at the time that I was there and what they had previously, it was even tighter from a fan standpoint. I think they could accommodate more numbers of people than we can here in Berea, but it was incredible, Michael, and
yeah,
every move this guy made was followed. So in many respects, this is similar to that, but I also think for some different reasons with regard to the fascination with Tebow versus Manziel, the different personalities that
they
have.
Well, there's no question about that. Going back to what Nate Burleson said, too, as we heard from the veteran Browns wide receiver, Vic, think about it. And whether it's Johnny Manziel or whether it's Justin Gilbert or Joel Bitonio or Terrence West, there hasn't been a lot of day-to-day shall we say, failure with these guys? I mean, they were outstanding in their collegiate career. That's right. Why they were drafted high in the first couple one to third round. And so we're going to find out a lot. And I think that's what Nate Burleson was alluding to. All right, when you get your hat handed to you in a particular series of downs, or a veteran schools you on the practice field, you know, how does each individual handle that, Vic? Again, because most of these guys have been used to nothing but success, being the guys on their football teams. And with that comes, it's only natural, Vic. It's human nature. It was with all of us. It comes a little bit of entitlement, a little bit of cachet. Yeah. Oh, so now when you get in this NFL life and you find things maybe don't snap to snap go your way, how does each individual deal with that and handle that?
Those are the awakening moments,
yes,
we call them. Nate Burleson was asked regarding the fight that broke out yesterday, and I guess it led to overall skirmishes, but primarily between Garrett Gilkey, the offensive guard, and Phil Taylor, the big defensive tackle, and he was asked his thoughts on the skirmish.
Man, there's nothing wrong with that. If you're not passionate about the sport, then you're in the wrong sport. You know, occasionally you're going to get angry. Sometimes these conditions, the weather, the monotony of it, it gets to you. So every once in a while, there's going to be some punches thrown. As long as it stays on the field and we don't have none in the locker room, we're okay.
You know, and I think that
what
he said at the very end is what sticks with me. Doesn't carry over into the locker room. There have been some situations, unfortunately, in this league, and I'm not sure how many I could document specifically to this team through the years, where that acrimony on the field did carry over, where teammates genuinely didn't like each other. And look, in any workplace, you can have some divisiveness. It's just natural. And sometimes the topics that usually divide teams, football teams, in my experience, are quarterback controversies where people won. You know, I remember my last year of covering the Buffalo Bills, Doug Flutie was there, and there was a guy named Rob Johnson there, and they had a horrific quarterback controversy where the two of them were at each other's, I was going to say at each other's throats, but not necessarily directly, but it was behind the scenes. So there was a faction of teammates who liked one guy, a faction who liked another guy. Obviously, is the potential for that here? Yeah, there is. There's always potential for that, especially when you don't have the defined, clear-cut franchise guy that is going to be, you know, he's your guy for the foreseeable long-term future. So there is no Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, nothing like Ben Roethlisberger. That guy doesn't exist here. Mm-hmm. Where you're waiting to find that guy, and as long as that guy doesn't exist here, maybe those things can be divisive. As far as what has happened among the linemen, it's interesting that Garrett Gilkey has been involved in a couple of these scrapes, and it's also interesting that Phil Taylor, who has been in other scrapes before, is that guy too. Mm-hmm. What I don't want to see, though, and I thought to some degree this has been a problem the last couple of years, the discipline of penalties. I don't want this to carry over. You can have your edge, but let's not let it turn into flags. I'll be really disappointed if we start seeing the stupidity of penalties, which unfortunately has happened far too often with this Browns team. I mean, part of the reason why you're only winning 13 games in the past three seasons and hovering at that 4 or 5 win mark is because you commit too many damn penalties.
You use the term divisive. Well, that's when it becomes real divisive, when it shows up on Sundays between September and December. Now, now that what happens on a practice field or, as you said, Vic, in the locker room can kill you. I go back to yesterday, and we were on the air, and actually, as this transpired, just the battle between Taylor and Gilkey, you know, I always – Big Phil is an intriguing guy to me. And, Vic, as I said – I think at times Phil Taylor wants to go out there and test guys, especially younger players. And I do think he's not the only one that's done that now, and especially a guy at a defensive tackle or nose tackle position. It happens, but I think Phil, in a sense, Vic, with his, you know, this very strong shield of pride that he has, he takes to heart about what, are you going to be a teammate of mine? And this is how we want to play and have a physicality and a toughness? Right. Well, let's find out right now who's ready to throw down. I, again, I'm not. I don't know that.
Yeah,
but
I know
I'm
you're
saying,
advocating it necessarily.
I'm not advocating
but it. But it is the reality of.
And you and I've been around enough long enough to know that. Oh, it happens in the National Football League.
Of course, and it's part of, and it gets written off to competitive nature.
Yeah.
To guys getting tired of working against the same people all the time. Weather gets, I mean, not that it's been oppressively hot at all, but it's been hot enough maybe to just be out there long enough to say, you know what, this stinks.
Well, Nate Berlin said monotonous. He said, you know, we're going through our position drills,
yeah.
And that happened to be an 11-on-11. But, again, it's let's just say we've seen it happen before around National Football League camps.
All right, we want to hear from you, 216-578-0850. Weigh in, interact. Let's talk about this Browns team. Give us a call. You also can tweet us at Browns_daily. Want those barks and growls from the pound? Absolutely. Ron Jaworski going to join us at the top of the hour. We'll get Jaws' take on this Browns team, and it's some interesting
must
stuff.
Must listen, Vic.
It is.
Must listen.
Fact or Fiction, we'll be doing that at 2:30. So we got that ground to cover. Hopefully, somewhere along the line, we can get some sound from the head coach of this team. He had a lot of interesting things to say if we can fix up our technical issue. So let's get that resolved. And a great show ahead for you on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.